Good to be together. I'm really glad and rejoicing in being able to be together live, so to speak, instead of virtual this morning. And praise the Lord for his mercies towards us, even at times like this. Let's just begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we are grateful. Lord, as we go through times like these with we become more and more aware how precious it is to have the privilege to gather together, Lord, physically. And Lord, we're thankful that we've been able to use Zoom to be able to still fellowship together. But Lord, I have to say, there's nothing like being together. And Lord, we worship Thee today for this step that we're taking back towards being able to fully gather together in your name. So Lord, we ask you bless this day. We ask you bless today's as we share. Lord, I certainly pray that the Holy Spirit would anoint. Otherwise, Lord, we're just mouthing words. Lord, we come to you. We ask that all of our hearts would be open to hear from you, not from Jerry Amon, but from you this morning, Lord. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. So this morning, my opening verse that really came to me this morning was out of Esther 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then there shall be enlargement and deliverance shall arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house would be destroyed. And this is the key part of this verse. But who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for a time such as this? A time such as this. That's what's on my heart this morning. A time such as this. This was a critical time in the history of Israel. Some of the Israelites, about 4%, had returned to rebuild the Jerusalem. But back the capital, they were still captives. And the ones that had remained behind were now in great danger through Haman, who was now trying to manipulate the king in such a way that he would order that all the Jews be destroyed. And so they were in an imminent danger. And Mordecai came aware of what was going on. And he appeals to Esther that it's time to take action. It's time to move and have the Lord provide a way of deliverance. Now, I thank the Lord that our sister responded to this admonition. And the Jews indeed were spared. They called for a day of prayer among the Jews. And that in response to Esther's actions and the prayers of the people of God, they were delivered. In fact, Haman, the enemy, all of his actions that he took in deceitful ways to try to have Israel destroyed were actually turned on his own head. The hangman's noose that was meant for the Israelites, he ended up hanging on it because instead of Mordecai. So praise the Lord that these were times, strange times in the nation of Israel. And so I'd like to also read some verses out of 1 Peter, because 1 Peter, he addresses the strangers scattered throughout Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so let me begin with 1 Peter 1, 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, which is today would be Turkey and Greece. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. And he also encourages us, beloved, in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then in 1 Peter 2:5, you as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Times such as these, once again, the people of God were being persecuted, this time through Nero. You remember how he burned the city. He was a crazy, violent man, no doubt possessed by the enemy. And he was trying to destroy the Jews. And they were fleeing from Jerusalem into these other areas. And it looked like death and destruction. That's all that could be seen. And yet, God was using this that the gospel might go out through the known world of that time. And this gospel is spreading to Rome, the center of the known world of that time. And so God used these dire circumstances to actually advance his own purpose, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, to advance his church, and to build his church. It was at times of persecution, brothers and sisters, that the church was strengthened the most. In fact, it's been said that the church is built on the blood of the martyrs. And that's very true. It was these ones who gave up their life, just as our Lord Jesus had, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord's kingdom to come. And so this matter of suffering, this matter of trials, to the world, it's just condemnation. To the world, it's just suffering. To the world, it is just chaos. But brothers and sisters, there is another thing in view. And what is in view is God's kingdom, God's end, and God's purpose. So he is able to even use the evil of Nero for his own purposes, brothers and sisters. It's amazing what God is able to do. And I believe that we have come to this hour for a time such as this. I believe it is a time to challenge all of our hearts for the time in which we live, right before the Lord's return. We know about the pandemic. It brought the world kind of to its one knee anyway. And we know that the economies of the world, if it continued on, could actually be destroyed and put into chaos. As we see him in this nation, I think it had gotten up to about 30 million that were out of jobs. Brothers and sisters, these are intense times. And it's intense because the Lord said it was going to get intense towards the end, before his return. Everything was going to intensify. Now, we've noticed this in the weather. The men, the world is saying, well, it's warming up and this is creating storms. No doubt, that's probably true. But the Lord told us 2,000 years ago that these things would intensify as a sign of the times, as a sign that his time of return was near. And that's why we've been encouraged, even in recent messages, to look up, for our redemption draws nigh. This is a time in which we live, a time in which the enemy is trying to desperately destroy Christianity, to lash out in this world, to stir it up with all the murder and all the killings and all the diseases and all the chaos that we see going around. We see the misuse of authority, the abuse of authority. That's terrible. What has happened is tragic. That's what misguided authority does, brothers and sisters. And in the end, it is the spirit of the Antichrist. He is going to be in authority, a misguided authority, an evil authority, an abusive authority. That is what this world stage is being set up for. But we also see the resulting chaos and anarchy. And brothers and sisters, it's all out of the spirit of the Antichrist. So we live in times like these. We've been, brothers and sisters, we are born for a time like this. The Lord has brought you into relationship with Him, into His church, the body of Christ. And what has He instructed us? He said, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And whatsoever has been loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, it is a time to be spiritually militant, if I can put it that way without offending anyone. We need to be spiritually militant, and that is done in prayer. If you want to bind and loose things, it's not done with guns and weapons. It is done in prayer. That's what we are called to do. And I believe it is a time to be spiritually militant. And that's why I would encourage us to really be a part of our Wednesday night prayer, brothers and sisters. I think it's a time. I think the Lord is saying it's time to pray. It's time to lay hold of these things. What we see on earth is the result of all the stirrings that are going on in the heavenlies. You know, there's evil angels in the heavenlies. There is the good angels in the heavens. Christ is seated in the heavenlies. And He says, you need to be seated with Me and look at things from My viewpoint, not the world's viewpoint. It is My view that matters. And when we are in fellowship with Him in the heavenlies, brothers and sisters, we can bind and loose. This morning, the prayers for in New York was that these things would be bound. And brothers and sisters, do we believe that we can bind these things through prayer? Do we really believe it? I would suggest that we should believe it, and that stand in faith that the Lord will bind up what needs to be bound in these evil things. And what can be loosed, that out of this, the power of God can be loose to bring many men, many hearts to Him. The power of God can be loosed that the church will be matured. That's you and me. That it will be a call to you and me to respond to the Lord. Our brother this morning shared, he said, return to the Lord. It's a matter of love, first love. Return to that first love. Return to Him. The Lord is doing that through this. He doesn't want us to be passive in our individual life, nor in our church life, our corporate spiritual life. We cannot afford to be passive at this time. Esther was afraid. Esther pulled back, but Haman encouraged her. He said, if you don't rise up, the Lord will raise somebody else up. I'm sorry, how did I say Haman? Yeah, that was wrong. Scratch that. Mordecai, thank you. That's why we need brothers and sisters, particularly when Jerry Amon's speaking. Anyway, it's a time such as this. You've been raised up for a time such as this. The fellowship in Richmond has been raised up for a time such as this. The fellowships all over the world, His church all over the world has been raised up for a time such as this because we are preparing for His soon return. Lord, I mean, brothers and sisters, we need to be aware. If you read the book of Revelation, there's a lot of just unbelievable things that are going to be taking place on this earth. Pestilence that we have not yet seen. And we know that right now the locusts are just eating up all the crops in northern Africa, in Pakistan. Brothers and sisters, but that is nothing to what is going to occur. It talks about a third of the waters being contaminated, the fresh water. A third of the ocean turning to blood. Brothers and sisters, a third of the forest and trees being burned. A third of men being killed on earth. It's an awful, tragic time. And the Lord encourages us all to draw to Him that we might be spared from this time ourselves. Brothers and sisters, the world stage is being set for the Antichrist. Believe me, the pandemic, I think, just shows us how quickly, how easily a nation can be brought to his knees just through this one disease. Now, there's some that have even believed that China purposely released this in order to exactly do what it's doing to America. We see the economic problems, and we also see the chaos that's developed out of it. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. But I know it is the work of the enemy. I do know that. So it is a time for the church, a day such as this, a time such as this, for us to be, I believe, spiritually militant. Now, Peter was trying to encourage those that had been dispersed, those that were running from Nero and from his death squads. Brothers and sisters, he wanted to encourage them that they were still in the fight, that they were still the Lord's, that they needed to keep the Lord's purpose in view, what was on the Lord's heart in view, the Lord's kingdom in view, not all that was going on and all that was happening to them, and the persecution was not the issue. Peter was trying to redirect their hearts and minds back to the Lord, I think, as our brother encouraged us this morning. So he called them strangers scattered. Strangers. They were strangers to the world. That's why he called them strangers. They weren't like the rest of the world. The rest of the world just was chaotic and evil. But he says, you're not that way. You don't think the way of the world as a Christian. You have to look at God's heart, God's purpose, what his will is. You have to see the Lord's view of things. And the world just can't do that, brothers and sisters. It has no way to sense what's on the Lord's heart. So he's trying to encourage them. He actually calls them strangers. Strangers in this world. So we are strangers to the way the world thinks and the way the world does things, brothers and sisters. Our way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, going to him. Well, that being said, they were scattered. They'd been scattered because of the persecution. And he's trying to say, look, during this shaking that's going on, it was already been said in a couple of other ministries, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on the Lord. Yeah, you can see all that's going around you, but that cannot cause fear in your heart, because fear is from the enemy, and we know that. So brothers and sisters, we're encouraged to look off unto Jesus, and we have been. But they were strangers and scattered. And in a sense, as I was thinking about this, you know, we've been fellowshipping on Zoom. I think it is a provision from the Lord. Don't get me wrong. It is an emergency measure, but it's not God's real heart, I can tell you that. God's heart is for us to assemble together. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm in the midst. His heart is us to be together. I remember in the Garden of Eden, he didn't set up a Zoom meeting with Adam and Eve, did he? No, he went down there and he just met right with them. Right there in the meeting. And in the end, in the book of Revelation, what does he say? There's this great announcement about the new Jerusalem coming down. And it says, and when there's a great announcement, it says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and I will dwell in them, with them. That's God's heart, to be with us, personal, up close and personal. Right now, we don't see the Lord face to face, but in that day, we will. There's a difference about being face to face. It's a time to stand in prayer, brothers and sisters, that we can do the Lord's will, even during this pandemic. I think when I look at the Zoom thing, it's scattered us in a way. But the one thing that has encouraged me, and I hope will encourage you, that even though we're using Zoom and we're not actually able to be together in the way that we'd like to, we're still one. Have you noticed that? Even when we go to Zoom and we're fellowshipping, even this morning, you can sense the oneness in Jesus Christ. And that's because, and I've already mentioned, he mentioned the spirit of obedience and the sprinkling of blood. It's because we're all of the same bloodline, brothers and sisters. There's something about the bloodline of Jesus that is a pure bloodline, unstained by sin, unstained by prejudice. It's the bloodline of Christ that we have within us, and that makes us one. You know, the Lord Jesus said, the life is in the blood, and that's very true. You lose your blood, you lose your life. The life is in the blood. We share one life still together, even with those that are on Zoom. It's one life. We sense that one spirit, and we can fellowship. We're one family. We have one Father. We can recognize that spirit when a brother or sister prays. I think we notice that. There's something that's alive. They may be, in some cases, 3,000 miles away, but we still sense the life of the Lord Jesus. That is what we have available as Christians. And I want to say one thing to encourage us all. We still belong. We belong to one another. We are family. And even if we have to take these extraordinary measures, it doesn't change the fact that we're one family. One blood, one life. That's amazing. The world does not have this, brothers and sisters. They just don't have it. We're able to communicate this life to one another because we have the Spirit, one Spirit. You know, have you ever woken up in the middle of the night and had somebody on your heart and you said, I need to pray for them. I have the urgency in my heart to pray for them. That's because the Spirit is not deterred by distance. It can go through walls. It can go through this atmosphere. It can travel all around this world. The Spirit, we have that Spirit, so we're still able to communicate in spirit. So outwardly, we may seem a bit scattered at this point. But I want to say by the Spirit, we're together. We're still one. We still need to be aware of one another during this time. And I want to say it again. To the world, this is impossible. Do you realize we have something? That those that don't know Christ don't have Christ? They just don't have it. It's impossible. We have something so precious. And that's what I wanted to remind us of this morning, that we have something extremely precious through the blood of Christ and through the Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Well, Peter, help me out when I go wrong. Peter, I think it's interesting. He knows they are being persecuted. He knows what's going on, and he's trying to encourage them. And when you get, I think it's chapter 4. Nope, that's not it. Peter 2:5. He reminds them of something. He says, you are living stones being built together. They're in dispersion. They're being persecuted. I'm not even sure they're thinking about being built together. But he said, look. Don't lose, in all the chaos, do not lose the perspective that I have that has been given to you. God's purpose must be kept in view. And so Peter reminds him, you are being built up, a church for God's purposes, a bride for the Lord Jesus himself. He said, don't lose sight of God's purpose in all of this. Keep God's view in view. You are living stones being built together where he desires to dwell in the midst. And I've already mentioned it. I think it's amazing. with Adam and Eve. He wanted to be with them. And in the end, it says that we will reign and rule with him in the kingdom. He wants us to be in the midst of us, brothers and sisters. He says, you need to keep this in view. He said, don't let this disperse you to the point that you can't be built together, because it is extremely important to be built together. The other night as we were praying, the thought that came to me, it's like stones out in a field. They have the potential to be a house, but until they're built, brought together and actually built together, not just piled on one another, when they're actually brought together and built together, it builds a habitation for God. So important that we not lose perspective during this day. I just want to encourage us all. I think Peter was trying to do that. That the church is precious in the Lord's eyes. The church is precious in his heart. So all that's going on, he's aware of. But he's more aware of what's going on in our hearts. I shouldn't say more, he is. He just is aware. And he doesn't want us to lose perspective or to become passive. And he said, you know, the Lord loves the church. And he's going to bring her to glory. Now, what does that mean? One thing I can tell you, when glory happens, God is satisfied. God is pleased. In other words, for us, individually, personally, to come to glory in your life means that you've come to fullness in Christ. It means that you have been perfected in Christ. And that is being done now. Even through adverse circumstances, the Lord wants to use all of this, I think, in our hearts to reconsider our relationship with the Lord, just as our brother encouraged us at the Lord's table, to really reconsider where we are in the Lord, because he's coming soon. This should tell us it's around the corner, and the corner is not far away. So he's looking for that precious bride. Remember, without spot or wrinkle? Do you believe that one day you will be out without any spot or wrinkle? The human, we will still be human, but there will be no more evil flesh in us, no more sin. That's going to be an amazing time. And he's bringing us to that fullness. He loves his church. The Lord Jesus gave his life for the church. It's very clear in Ephesians 5:25, he says, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. He left glory. He left heaven to come and be with us, brothers and sisters. He gave up his rights as God. Even though he was still God, he gave up the rights that he had. And he came and submitted himself totally under the Father to do his will. He became one by becoming human. Humanity has been joined to the Lord himself. Not our corrupt humanity, but the humanity that God has always desired. He came, he suffered on the cross. He walked this earth like we walk it, in the same shoes. He was a carpenter. He had to work for a living, take care of his family, just like we do. But brothers and sisters, he became the Lamb of God, the one who ransomed himself for us. He loves the church. That's what I want you to remember this morning. I couldn't help but be remembered Matthew 13. The Lord shared a parable with his disciples. He is sharing this parable with us today. I believe it's the pearl merchant. Remember, there was a pearl merchant. He was only interested in pearls, but he was interested in finding the pearl, the one that was so magnificent that he would have to have it. And finally, he finds it, and it says he sold all that he had. Our Lord Jesus sold all of his life that he might have this pearl, the church. That's how much he loves us. I just pray that the Lord will open our eyes and my own to see how precious the church is to the Lord, to see how much he loves it. He loves you and me. I think we all here are probably convinced of that. But he loves the church. He died for the church. John the Apostle gave us a glimpse of the glory of the church in Revelation. And I thought it was interesting, and I'll try to be quick because my time is coming to a close. What did he see when he saw the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, coming down? It was a church. It was the bride for Christ. It was a precious metal. He said it was like fine gold everywhere, transparent gold, perfectly pure, no impurities in it. Brothers and sisters, the life of Christ, that was what was just reflected in what John saw. He said there was no blemish. And I love this. He says it was clear as crystal. You know what the real beauty of a crystal is? It doesn't have much beauty until you shine light on it, does it? It's the light upon the crystal. Do you realize that that's what the church is? It's supposed to be like this crystal. In itself, it's kind of plain looking. But the light of Christ is the light of the city, and it shines through the crystal. And all of the magnificence of Christ, the glory of Christ, is revealed by the light shining upon the crystals. It talks of stones, precious stones, not rocks. He didn't call them rocks. He says precious stones. We are the precious stones, or we will be the precious stones. We're precious to him now. But brothers and sisters, and I've shared on this before, but these precious stones, they come out of thousands of years of pressure and heat down in the earth. It's pressure, it's heat, it's trials often that purify and make a precious stone, a rock into a precious stone. You know, diamond is really just mostly coal, a lump of coal. But through the pressures and fire of the earth, it's turned into a diamond. And that's what the Lord is doing in our lives. But brothers and sisters, more than that, the precious stone shows the character of Christ. The character of Christ will be displayed in all these precious stones. And then there's the pearl. And we know pearl is formed from suffering in the oyster. He gets that grain of sand or grit or some kind of virus in there, and he starts secreting this fluid that turns into a pearl. And that, so the pearl, representative of life coming out of suffering, beauty coming out of suffering. And then there's life. There's tree of life. It's on both sides of the river. How that happens, I don't know. But there's a tree of life on the both sides of the river. And it's the river of life that runs through the city. Hallelujah. It's living. It's vibrant. It's full of life. Resurrection life. Not the life that will perish like we now have. But resurrection life that we still also we have as Christians, and we're yet to experience. Well, I shouldn't say we do experience that resurrection life even now. We can experience it. Resurrection life, full of life. And then there's fruit. Out of that life comes fruit. Isn't that amazing? 12 kinds of fruit every month of the year. You know, when it talks about fruit, it's in the context of John saying there's no more curse. You know, thorns are aborted fruit. I didn't know that, but thorns are aborted fruit. And so no more thorns, just good fruit. And brothers and sisters, we know that we get fruit most of the time in the summer, right? Well, this is all the time. It's continuous fruit out of that life that is flowing, continuous fruit. The leaves are even useful for the healing of the nations. In other words, this whole city speaks of Christ. Oh, by the way, that river flows from the throne of God, from the throne. In other words, this is authority that is pure, authority that is God, authority that gives power to this life. It comes from the throne. So the city is full of glory. That is what lies ahead for us as Christians. So I would just encourage us all, in times such as these, keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on what lies ahead. Yes, you will see all the tragedy, all the turmoil, the pestilence, the death. I got exhausted watching almost every hour on TV. They were reporting how many deaths we had. It reminded me back in the war when every day they would report how many soldiers had been died. But that's the world. That's the world's view. That's all that they can see. I think that's so tragic. But the Lord can open our eyes to see Him, to see His full purpose, and that we're to be a part of it. So let's close in prayer. Lord, we are thankful today. We praise and worship You. You're the Lord of glory. You intend to see glory. You intend to have glory. Lord Jesus, out of all the chaos, all of the tragedy, Lord, all the shaking, what will remain is Christ, and we're thankful for that. But Lord, You've also encouraged us to look up in these days. And Lord, keep our eyes fixed upon the prize. And Lord, we pray also that we will be spiritually militant in these days, standing for the will of God on earth in the midst of all this chaos. And Lord, we've already prayed for it, but Lord, we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, we want to bind up this chaos that is going on right now, where the evil has been unleashed all over this nation, Lord. The hatred of men is pouring out. And Lord, we just want to bind that up. But we also, at the same time, want to loose the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one that called, as Peter said, grace and peace be unto you. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.